भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीविष्णुभागवतम् canto number 5 chapter 1 activities of Maharaj Priyavrata text number
16
yeah. Even if one is liberated, he nevertheless accepts the body he has received according to his past karma. Without misconception, however, he regards his enjoyment and suffering due to that karma the way an awakened person regards a dream he had while sleeping. He thus remains steadfast and never works to achieve another material body under the influence of the three modes of material nature.
Amagyanatimidam nasya janagana salakayam chaksu spiritam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manavistam shapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa karamaya dadat visva parantikam shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Advaita Garaha, Shri Dasari Gaura Bhakta Vidna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I'll read the verse again. Translation. Even if one is liberated, he nevertheless accepts the body he has received according to his past karma. Without misconceptions, however, he regards his enjoyment and suffering due to that karma the way an awakened person regards a dream he has while sleeping. He thus remains steadfast and never works to achieve another material body under the influence of the three modes of material nature. So here, Lord Brahma is speaking to Priyavrata, trying to convince him to take up the service of the Lord. So this is our founder acharya. In one sense, Lord Brahma is the acharya for the sampradaya. So he's giving good advice. We should all take that advice and go on tolerating our karma. Whatever is coming to us from previous actions and reactions, sometimes good, sometimes bad, these things don't actually affect us. How is that? Because we're acting on a higher platform. Mamsha yogyabhicharina, bhakti yogena sevita. We're coming to the platform of devotional service, which has nothing to do with karma, nothing to do with good or bad results from previous activities. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda also advises, forget the past that sleeps and near the future dream at all, but live in times that are with thee and progress you shall call. So right now we can perform devotional service, such a nice thing. Even if we are crippled, even if we're handicapped in so many ways, but still we can become free from that reactions. What does Prabhupada say here? We should disregard past activities performed in ignorance and perform his present activities in such a way that they produce no reactions. This is their freedom. This is the platform of freedom. Just engage in devotional service. And devotional service is so nice, it's open to everyone. Even the children, we were seeing yesterday how nice they were performing the play, how they're understanding this principle of glorifying Krishna. So everyone can glorify Krishna. What is the difficulty? In some way, we were just reading that bhajan, Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu Smara Parasevam. Prahlad was also telling Hiranyakashipu yesterday. What is the best thing you learned in school? Yes, the best thing I learned is to engage always in the devotional service of Lord Krishna. So it's open to everyone. Somebody can't say, oh, I had a bad childhood, I was abused, or something. No. That may be there. But as long as we come to this point of using our intelligence properly, we were mentioning yesterday how intelligence is passive, and how it could just accept or reject. So why not accept this principle that we can perform devotional service, which is getting us free from karma. Even we may have some bad karma, corrupt the karma, we can say someone may have, body which is, well, I think it says in the nectar devotion, there's four symptoms that one is getting some bad karma. She has legal difficulties, maybe very ugly, some poverty, something like that. There's some list. And then good karma, maybe there also. But these things from our past, they're coming to us automatically. From the spiritual point of view, we see that both of them are trouble. Some of you say, oh no, no, I want just the good. Prabhupada used to give the example, wet stool and dry stool. What is the good? If you embrace that, then you get caught up in that. In the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it describes the different modes of material nature and how they act. And a mode of goodness is better than the others. It makes us happy and brings us to the point of being illumined. But unless we transcend that mode of goodness, that will also point us to bondage. Why is that? Because we'll become conditioned to think that this kind of life is nice. I'm making advancement because of my karma, there's some progress, money is coming, I'm becoming more and more influential. And so we think this is a good life. The sweet life, isn't it? We want. Everybody's after that sweet life. But then you become attached to that kind of life, and gradually, in the course of time, when you're coming to the end of your life, you're lamenting, oh, I want to continue in this kind of life. So naturally, because you have that desire, Krishna will give you another body where you can again have opportunity to enjoy maybe good karma. But there's no guarantee. What were you doing with your advantage in this life? Were you putting others down? Were you being cruel to them? Then you may not get such a good fortunate position. And in any case, even if it's good, from the spiritual point of view, it's like a golden handcuff. You're still bound up. You may think that you're free, but you're not so. Just like we give the example of a cow. A cow is tied by the rope to the tree. The cow may think, I'm free. I can go on this side of the tree or on this side of the tree. But from another perspective, it's conditioned, it's bound up. So we may think we're free. Here we're in a free country, America. We can do what we like. But what is that freedom? And when we're on the road, if we don't drive on the right, then immediately the police will, or we'll have an accident. So we're free, but within a condition. We're conditioned. But we forget that conditioning. This is called Maya. We're forgetting that we're actually bound up. And so we don't take this devotional service seriously. We don't become serious about performing our devotional activities because we think we have already a good advantage. But this advice is being given that at every moment, that means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every moment we should be engaged in Krishna's service. There shouldn't be any gaps. Then we'll be completely free from our reactions, from creating any more reactions. So some of us say, how is it possible to be 24 hours a day engaged in devotional service? But Bhagavad Gita is giving us that answer, that we can do that if we simply put Krishna in the center, like he's advising. He belongs in the center, so what is the problem of naturally keeping him there? Rather, the unnatural condition is when we want to put ourselves in the center. However, this unnatural condition has been, we've accepted since time immemorial, therefore it's a little difficult to, you can say, give up this bad habit. What is that bad habit? Me, me, me. From the time we were born, the child was putting in the mouth, me, I want. So now we have to put someone else in the center. Instead of putting in our mouth, we first give to Krishna. So this requires some training. And it may take some time because it's a radical departure from our previous existence, which we've been experiencing since time immemorial, a long time. We've been habituated to have an enjoying mood. And so some training is required. And we shouldn't be impatient, Rupa Goswami advises. Be patient. At the same time, enthusiastic, because this is a wonderful opportunity. Just like in business, if a businessman gets a wonderful opportunity, he's very enthusiastic to go forward and take that opportunity. Similarly, we should be very enthusiastic about this chance we have, this human form of life. We've met the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, he's given us this process very scientifically. We should be enthusiastic to take it up. Happy to get this opportunity. And then, what is he, Rupa Goswami also, then we can be confident. We can be bold even. Prabhupada didn't wait until somebody invited him to come to America. Old man, how is it he came? Because he is bold, he's a preacher. Because we're confident, we have the right thing. Like there was one book, right? I'm okay, you're okay. Prabhupada said, no. I'm okay, you're not okay. He was very bold to expose the Maya. The whole world is working under Maya, under the illusory energy, that they're the center. And that kind of work will completely keep them bound up. So one who is out of this dream, nice analogy is given here about the dream, when he was awakened from that dream, then he's no longer bewildered by the illusory energy. And so, he can be very forceful. Prabhupada used to say, it's like giving medicine to a horse. It takes 10 men to hold down a horse in 1 minute, jam the medicine down his throat. So, we have to be bold like that. At the same time, no one was more humble than Srila Prabhupada. Just like Amrish was mentioning this morning, Amrish Prabhu, how on his own account, Prabhupada was so humble, even when his disciples were criticizing him or something, he was very, very humble. He could tell, I also saw him bending over backwards to accommodate his disciples, to try to engage them. He said once, you can stand on my head to serve Krishna. But when Krishna was being minimized, when his spiritual master was being minimized, when the devotees were being minimized, when the institution was being minimized, then he was like fire. So we have to learn. This is the art. How to be hard as a thunderbolt and soft as a rose. So why not take this opportunity? But take it seriously. You have a nice facility here, but there's also danger because you can become complacent. Oh, we have enough to live. Income is coming, but we don't have to get up in the morning so much. We don't have to. No, we should remain. We should remember that what is our past? How we are so sinful. And always think ourselves, lacking. Feeling our disqualification. Then we can draw the mercy. The whole secret is to be able to extract mercy from the superiors. We're not all one. We have superiors. And we have those who are equal to us. And we have those who are inferior. Sometimes people don't like to hear this. Oh, nobody's inferior. What do you mean? We're all the same. No. There are inferiors. Those who are less advanced in spiritual life. And with them, we should show mercy. Materialists, if somebody's below us, then we want to keep them down, right? Keep them damn niggers in their place. I shouldn't say that. It is in the South, right? I might get... That used to be the philosophy, right? Anybody below, you want to keep them down. Don't get uppity. Why? So because everything is being measured from you. You're the center of the universe, therefore if somebody's below you, you feel good. That's right. And if somebody's above you, bring them down. What are you so proud? And so this is material life. And if somebody's equal to me, then I advertise myself. You know what I did? You know this? You know this? But devotional service is just the opposite. If somebody is superior to us, then we acknowledge. And we become happy to hear from them, glorify them. If somebody is equal to us, we make friends with them. If somebody is below us, we show them mercy. So material life is a nasty place. Why do we want to remain in this place where this is the given formula that envy is there? Isha Vesha Sabutvena. We come here because of envy. There's always some envy in our hearts. Who can say they're free from envy? Prabhupada said, if you find somebody free from envy, you can worship them. So we're all struggling with it. And what if the envy is of Krishna? Because he's the most opulent in all ways. All beauty, all knowledge, all faith, all good qualities. And we want that. We want to be the most learned, the most famous, the most beautiful. And so we struggle. But on the other side, we should say, all right, I'm sick of this. I want to get out of this. I don't want it anymore. I want to come to the same life where people are really nice, where those who are superior to me actually deal with me in kindness. They don't try to exploit me, but they try to bring me up. Such a nice atmosphere, if we put Krishna in the center. We can create such a nice atmosphere. And it's not some pie in the sky after you die, but we saw practically, because we had example of Srila Prabhupada and his dealings. Therefore we know, it's something real. It's not an imagination, because we had the example. Srila Prabhupada was so wonderful in the way he dealt with us and so many, and everybody, how everybody was enlivened by his association. So, why can't we also develop those qualities? But in order to do it, we have to take this formula seriously. Means to be a little strict with ourselves. I was just reading one of those, Siddhanta has compiled one of the videos, and now they're in book form. So one, Chitsukananda was saying how they were preaching in Mexico, Srila Prabhupada was there, and they even had a program at night, but then in the morning, the devotees didn't get up until 6 or 6.15, something like that. Prabhupada was very disturbed. Why are you sleeping? We have to get up in the morning. He said, if you're tired, you should still get up, chant Hare Krishna, and then you can take rest later. So he probably was quite serious about that. So don't be complacent. It's a little easy to become complacent when you're, you know, when somebody isn't coming to wake you up. Krishna, now he has to get up because otherwise I covered my dandam. But now we're not in the temple, you know, directly, there's no authority coming. Okay, Mangalarti, everybody up, take a shower. So therefore, it's easy to become. But there may be some, you can say, scope for that. But generally, we should be in the mood of pushing ourselves. Don't be so easy with yourself. It's too easy to, you know, just eat and sleep. Prabhupada used to say, don't make the temple a place for eating and sleeping. The tendency is there to enjoy. So we have to push. Some austerity is required. And we don't like austerity, naturally. But once we start doing it, just like, I'll give an example of my own life. Before I became a devotee, I was a student at the University of Buffalo. I joined there, Buffalo, New York. Rupanuga was the temple president. And I was driving a taxi, going to school and driving a taxi in the summer and at night, on the weekends. And I used to drive a night shift because that was the best time to get tips. Because when the bars closed, then the drunks would come out and they didn't know what they were doing. They'd just say, hey, it's $10. And then I'd get to bed at 4 o'clock. And then naturally I'd get up afternoon. I slept the whole morning. Every day I'd get up in the afternoon sometimes. So when I became a devotee, I said, oh my God, he could get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Can't believe this is too much. So it took me a long time to really get... But now I don't even need an alarm clock to get up at 3 o'clock, 3:15. So in other words, you can... It's an austerity, but once you take it and once you get... Then you appreciate it. It becomes... You joyfully perform. It's not so difficult. So don't be lenient with yourself. That was Prabhupada's move. Be lenient with others, but with yourself, be strict. Okay, any questions? Yes, Prabhupada.
You mentioned we have to be engaged in devotional service, no gaps, continuously. But how do we know if that service is actually pleasing to Krishna?
Well, that depends on your intention. Devotional service is based on intention. If you're doing something with the idea that you want to please Krishna, then that in itself is success. Next question. Yes, Prabhu?
They sometimes also say that Guru Shastra and Sadhu for confirming it, because sometimes...
That's a good point, yeah.
I'm doing this for Krishna, I think.
Good point, yes.
Krishna likes to see me happy, so...
Thank you for pointing that out. We can't say, you know, we're going to the racetrack to make money for Krishna. Yes, Prabhu?
It's not quite a question.
Some comments, please.
Report that. Yesterday, one person was mentioning that a few devotees were kind of upset with the way you spoke.
Oh, I didn't notice.
I said, I don't think that you said anything that should not talk about the matter.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I thought it would be okay. I love you. But for this reason, I'm thinking that the devotees have some dissatisfaction. They should, you know, probably say it or something, because I thought it was good.
So he's mentioning about yesterday's class that he thinks of something.
I think he's already.
Well, I was thinking about it. It's true that if we make devotees from our children, then they're very valuable. But most of us, our parents weren't devotees, and we're also valuable. In other words, anybody who's a devotee is valuable. That's the simple point. So whether they come this side or that side, that's something wonderful. We're talking about something, doing something wonderful. So this is the most wonderful thing. If we can create nice devotees in any way, from this side or that side, then it's wonderful.